the big homie. This is Jamal.
This is E.
And we are the Free Meals Club, straight serving that raw. On this week's episode, we will be reviewing TLOP, The Life of Pablo by Kanye West, finally. And for dessert, we'll just be naming, you know, some of his top songs to us. First off, I would like to give a ceremonious brr because the trap guy is out. So brr, brr, brr. And I'm gonna go ahead and start off, you know, with my playlist for the week and what I'm listening to. So I'm gonna go with of course, the Back on the Road with Drizzy and WAP. You know, it caught me off guard, but I was very happy to see that come out. I'm listening to that A Disciple of His, of course, that Gangster Shit by Young Thug. I don't know if y'all got around to that. It was one of the many leaks of all the good shit that was out there. And I've been real bug, you know, real street with, you know, my selection of music. And I've been checking out Yaki DiBiase. And he got a song with my boy 21 Savage called Pockets. I'm fucking with that real tough. I'm fucking with fucking with that Lockjaw by French Montana and Kodak Black, you know, Mac and Cheese 4 coming out soon. And last but not least, I'm rocking with that Pick Up the Phone by Travis Scott, Young Thug, and Quavo. What y'all got?
On my end, I've been messing with the Vic Mensa, the Project Friday. I'm really fucking with the Shades of Blue track on there. He kind of like the if Chance is the Martin to Chicago, he the Malcolm X to his shit. It's like he's speaking the same message, but it's a little more volatile. And then Lil Uzi Vert finally put Lil Uzi Vert versus the World on Apple Music. I know we was talking about it last time, it'd be kind of sucking to have to switch between apps, but he kind of got that on Apple Music, so I was fucking with that. And the High Roller, like, I can't get enough of that shit. Like, that shit is extra hard. And then, let's see. I'm still kind of messing with the coloring book. I feel like I got to have that, you know, at least once a day. Same drugs and all we got. Kind of keep them in rotation. And then the James Blake is still going hard. The track he got with Bon Iver, I Need a Forest Fire, is probably the best track off of there. And, of course, Drake Never Leaves the Rotation. Like, I don't think I ever get enough of Feel No Ways. This probably going to end up being one of my top songs of the year. So that's pretty much what I've been rocking with.
All right, after me, my playlist, I'm rocking with a guy named Steve Lacy. He's one of the members of the Internet. I found like his SoundCloud or whatnot. He got some nice songs. But he has a song called See You Girl. It's real dope. Has a good vibe to it. I'm rocking with that One Dance. It's Justin Bieber and Drake. And since I just brought up Drake, I'm going to talk about, 4 p.m. in Calabasas. That's dope. That's in my playlist. I've been rocking with that. I would listen to this Kate Renata album, Heavy Still. And my song on that that I'm just really, really messing with is called Glowed Up. And it's featuring Anderson .Paak. And lastly, I have to Pick Up the Phone because their Young Thug and Travis Scott connections are always a hit. So that's what I'm rocking with.
Okay. I sound like some pretty good stuff. The Travis Scott and Thug though, it's like their connection, like from when they linked up randomly and was on tour, what seemed random to us, I'm sure it wasn't random to them. But I haven't heard anything bad about them two together. And you know, it's funny about the song because it was released, and then 300 immediately took it down. You know, and, you know, of course, Travis Scott went on a little rant, you know, telling people to say, you know, free the song or whatever. And it was kind of interesting, you know, how tightly that they holding, you know, everything with Thug, because I don't know if y'all remember when Migos and Young Thug had kind of teased that they had a project coming out called Migos Thuggin. Turns out that project is done, but 300 will not let that out because, you know, they see that as, you know, big money, especially with those two together. And I'm sure probably some Metro Boomin.
Yeah, so is 300 an independent label, or are they just a smaller major label?
They're a smaller major label, from my understanding.
I can see why they would want to hold it as far as money, but I kind of feel like Thug can put out so much free music. Why go? I mean, it seems like now that he working. Well, not now that he's working, but it seems like these songs that he got out with other people are the ones they want to hold on, which that just seems kind of weird because it's like he got this slew of free music, so why not just, I don't know why, because I feel like it's a little more hindering, you know, Travis and Migos because, you know, Thug gonna always have all his music, but if Travis trying to jumpstart, you know, his little project that he got coming out and then they holding the song, that kind of sucks for Travis.
Yeah, it does, but, I mean, that's just the industry for you, and why so many artists are trying to stay independent. But I mean, they do need that money from the majors, and the majors are losing really because people, you know, streaming, stealing, all that kind of stuff. So it's hard for the label to make money other than to try to put a tight grip on things that can and can't be released.
Didn't Young Thug have some problems putting out his, like, last two projects? Like, I know Season 3 and then, well, I forgot the other one, but I know he had some type of problem putting it out.
Right. Because I know Slime Season 3, it was, and that, to me, that was, like, one of his better projects. But you know how most times you just want to release it and put it on live mixtapes. It's like, they won't let him do that. So, He put it on there, but, you know, he had to take it off. And, of course, it was on all the streaming services because they can kind of keep track of the plays and, you know, see all that kind of stuff. And they kind of the sales, you know, at so many streams. I think we talked about before is a purchase or something like that. So, it's like I said, although it seems to us that he putting all kinds of stuff out, because, of course, we all have our streaming services, and we can get anything that comes out. It's like they're making sure every move is calculated by him.
Well, we
are you guys going to say?
Well, no, I was going to say, while we was kind of on the subject of, like, you know, record labels and artists, I know with Schoolboy Q, Top from a TDE, he had kind of came out, and he was kind of going on a rant about how the fans ain't really supporting the Dead Part single. Like, I think it only had like 25,000 downloads, which was kind of low for, you know, single for an album just getting ready to come out. And it was just kind of like, you know, he was getting all this pressure to put the Schoolboy out, and now they're doing their rollout, and it seemed like the fans aren't really supporting it. But I don't know. I mean, to me personally, on the outside looking in, as much as I like Dead Part video dope as shit, that it didn't really come off as my album finna come out single. Like, it kind of seemed like an album cut. It didn't seem like I don't really feel like that's gonna be on the radio. So I don't know if that was like bad move on them, but kind of feel like he can't be mad because that ain't the all right my album coming out single, not to me anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I like that part, but I mean, it was kind of, I don't know, it was weird, like, the ending of it, where they had Kanye just freestyle. That didn't seem like something that was just supposed to be wicky. That was just like, hey, Kanye, you bullshitting. But with Top Dog, TDE, they always wait so long to, like, release music and whatnot. And I feel like people might have, I mean, when last time Q put that out? I was 2014, something like that.
Yeah.
We ain't even heard too much from Q since. So I feel like Q TDE should still continuously feed the fans. But, you know, they always hold on to the music they have, I guess. And I guess they believe in value, but, you know, people going to move on eventually. So, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, and like I said, it's hard to – I mean, I know numbers don't lie, but that part, it was very well received from people that fuck with Q. I mean, and if you think about it, people that fuck with Q are – it's they're very, like, rare and few, so to speak. Because it's people that fuck with them, but then people that don't. So, I mean, people listen to Studio and love that, but didn't listen to the album. You know what I'm saying? Because Studio just so happened to have been a good radio, I play it all the time type song. So, although it didn't get a lot of streams, that part, like, the people that are fans were like, oh, shit. Same way with Groovy Tony. You don't hear anybody talking about Groovy Tony. Groovy Tony was dope as fuck, and so was the video. So, like, people that fuck with him are like, oh, yeah, that's good. I got this. I got that part. When is the album coming? Of course. And Top Dog looking at that like, yeah, I hear y'all five, but I want to hear these other 995,000 say that same shit before I put this out, because I don't want it to put it out and not get what I should be getting from it. You know, that's what he sees it, you know. I know the artist got to get there too, but, you know, he looking at him. And you know, that's why he kind of held on tight the way he did with the Absol. Absol started forcing it, and clearly he knew what he was talking about with that shit, because it didn't really hit like it should have.
Yeah. I guess, in reference to his, I mean, because it's coming out regardless whether or not he like it, so. I guess he could stop it, but they already set the date. But it's just like, I would hope that, because I just feel like the album going to be dope. It's just, I think they were kind of benching on it. You know, Kanye is talk of everything. We got this song with Kanye, why not roll with that? But didn't think about the supposed, especially, I don't know, just based off their last rollout, like, Q coming behind Kendrick, he had like a good two or three hits, and, you know, like you said, Big Bro, even though people probably didn't necessarily go run to the album, he got his name out there. But it's like the diehard rap fans that know he can really spit. It's kind of like, you know, they really asking for the album. So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But I can't see it not being dope. I just feel like that probably wasn't a single to run with.
Right. I'm surprised. None of us talked about Rounds. That was like a pretty epic track to kind of get us ready for Cruel Winter. What was y'all take on that?
We always talk about how Kanye kind of, like, his career has been able to maintain through generations of different types of music because he keeps his ear to the street. And it's like, how much perfection to not have to have Gucci on the track, like, and then like to have such a bar, like, I'm finna go Gucci in the Gucci store. Like, he could have just said that and the song could have went off and like people would have went crazy. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't want to say it's genius because it's kind of an obvious play, but it's just you know what I'm saying? He's such a big artist on such a mainstream level, but it's like, you know, this cult following the Gucci Mane is like, I'm finna get on that wave and have it be a part of our rollout. And this is just like, it's just like perfection. I mean, as far as the song, the shit dope. I mean, he's from the hometown, but I mean, I didn't necessarily need Gotti at the end. Like, it was cool, but I didn't need it. But like I said, the song was straight. And then I was kind of having trouble with where was Designer and which one was Travis Scott. But I was listening for Travis Scott ad-lib, and I knew that was Travis, but it was like they was right behind each other, and I was kind of getting lost in that. But overall, like, the song dope as fuck, and just for him to put Gucci on this shit was just amazing.
Yeah. I like, it's a dope, fun song. Like, I love when good music have, like, posse songs or whatnot. I mean, it's not like, you know, like, I don't know, super in-depth. Whatever, so it's just fun. Fun songs were not like Cruel Summer. So when they, I know I saw like a few Snapchats, they were like teasing the Cruel Winter, and the hype got out there and whatnot. People were like really excited for it, and then it became official. But
yeah,
I feel like it's gonna be a good album, whatnot. And another thing, I feel like because I only heard the song like 2 or 3 times, but I feel like they're starting to use Travis Scott as like a kid, how they use Kid Cudi kind of for his like harmonizing and whatnot, because you typically hear him when he's on those type of songs just like doing what Kid Cudi used to do. You don't really get too many verses from him.
And it's, it's funny too, you know, with Travis always putting out there that Kid Cudi is his favorite rapper, to, you know, Kanye to snatch him up, and Kid Cudi, you know, basically separating himself from good music. Because I saw him had like, because it was people mad that like he wasn't, you know, he kind of doing his own thing, and they kind of mad that he won't, you know, be a part of good music. Yeah, at the same time, you can't be mad at him if he want to do his own thing. But he had tweeted out that he won't be a part of it, and it's just like, I mean, shit, honestly, it's another good move by Kanye where it's like, okay, you can go do your own thing. I'm going to come get your predecessor and put him in your place. So just another A1 move by Ye.
Yeah, it was that coupled with the pick up the phone, it kind of shows you the use that people are getting from Quavo, too. I said it once before, the Out of the Migos, if you call up somebody for a verse, most times it's Quavo, you know what I'm saying? And even if he doesn't even do a verse and he's on the hook, you know, it just seems to blend well. I mean, I love the song. Like you said, little bro, Gotti is so pointless. I'm so happy I couldn't tell who the designer was, because it would have made me not like that part. Of course, being the extreme devout Gucci fan that I am, like, my mind was blown from those first 3 bars, you know, when he was like, you know, Gucci home, got my Yeezys on, and now it's over for you Gucci clones. I'm good. I'm satisfied. And then after Gotti's, you know, like I said, I don't know if that was a pity party or whatever. After that little section he had, and then he came back on, I was like, oh, shit. So, of course, I rock with it about 100 times, you know, whatever. And it is a great posse song, like you said, Evan. It's like a mercy. I mean, like you said, don't really have no direction, but, like, it's a perfect, like, I'm riding around, I want to hear some folks spit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was done, put together perfectly, just like I would expect from Kanye. And coupled that with, like you said, Jamal, like, just his ear being to the streets, like the timing of it. Like I said, we got so much music this week over the span of, hell, I'll just say this week. Neither one of us talked about the Jay-Z and Pusha T. I mean, it was a dope song, but, you know, none of us really was just rocking with that. But, like, I think about, you know, OVO Sound and, like, some of the songs that they played, like that One Dance remix, the Back on the Road with Gucci. And it's like a lot of people are trying to cash in on the fact that, you know, okay, he's home and a lot of people are going to be talking about him. Let me throw him in the mix while not losing myself doing it, but, you know, just kind of remain my relevancy.
Yeah, like I said, that to, like, I couldn't think of a more perfect way to introduce the crew winners on the way. It's like, that was just, because, I mean, it was kind of a play on what they did with Cruel Summer, where they kind of, you know, did the posse cut on Chief Keef. It was just a little cooler this time because it was an actual original song. And like Lil Bro said, it's just fun. It's just a fun-ass song, you know what I'm saying? You know, with Kanye being, you know, in general, usually being, I'm not going to say a serious artist, but, you know, his hits usually tend to be on a serious tone. It'd be hits, but it'd be, you know, a little bit more serious. But with this one being such a party song, it just works perfectly. And speaking of, you know, Guwap the God, did y'all happen to know that Apple got all his mixtapes on there? Like every single last one?
No, I didn't even notice that.
I didn't know that. I knew that a long time ago. My boy, I've been out here working.
I had no idea about that. Because I know, Once he first got out, I went and saw what was on there, and it was just really kind of mainstream stuff. But I want to say probably about a few days ago, I heard somebody else talking about it on another podcast. And I was like, what? And I went back on there, and it was like everything. I was like, damn, man, you know, he may be the person with the most mixtapes ever. So it's an extensive list on there. So
I mean, he's definitely the mixtape guy.
Maybe,
you know,
Wayne.
Now, Wayne has done his thing. Don't get me wrong. But when I say mixtape guy, Gucci has put out more mixtapes than Wayne. Because, like, I mean, a lot of them weren't, you know, just good, you know, when he went on certain stints. And then it was just DJs that was putting stuff out and, you know, just saying it was a Gucci mixtape. Like, it was like six Wilt Chamberlain. But I only know that Gucci recorded about two of them. You know what I'm saying? But Wayne, like, his stuff is, like, calculated. You got The Drought, 1, 2, 3, 4. You got Sorry for the Way. You got Dedication, yeah. No Feelings. I mean, you can name his. You can't name all Gucci. Because, like, it's certain ones, like you said, they do have all his stuff on there. I mean, I always, you know, keep my Gucci list pretty refreshed. And it would be times that I would look for certain songs, and they wouldn't have them on there. They had, like, his mainstream mixtapes. Like, they had Writing on the Wall on there, and they had the movie. But, like you said, since he's been out, I've noticed that they put, like, the movie, Burprint 3, and they got everything, like you said. And it is pretty expensive, so I'm burning my data up, adding. I'm like, yep, gotta have it. You know? But, yeah, he definitely... He's carved out that following from his work. And not to say that Wayne don't work, but Wayne, you know, he was putting out more albums and doing features and having his music held hostage by Birdman. Gucci ain't having his shit held hostage by nobody.
Yeah, I feel like that's what, like, got him this crazy cult following is his mixtape game, because when you put him in the conversation with the people that, you know what I'm saying, he kind of merged with, you know, the Jeezys, the T.I.s, and stuff like that, it's like they went mainstream, in which Gucci did have a, you know, people kind of sleep on that. He did have a successful mainstream career, too. But it's like they went that route, and they just stayed that route. It was like he went right back to the mixtape game. It's like, you know, you got our generation, where it's like we remember him coming to the clubs in Memphis and shit like that, and then he went and snatched a whole other generation. It's like damn near 10 years younger than us, and it's like they get that same feeling that we got. So, you know, as far as the hip-hop culture, you kind of got to – you can't not put Gucci in that conversation.
So, quick question. Yeah, I think all these folks just putting him on the song and just playing off the hype with him being released and whatnot, because – He definitely probably one of the top 2, 3, maybe top 5 names in the South in hip hop music ever. But outside of that, I like before he went to jail, like back in the day, I didn't really just notice where people up north, where people like across the rest of the United States are really just listening to Gucci like that. So y'all think folks just playing off the hype? I think they really just mess with him.
I'll take that question. I think it's a mixture of both. Like, when I say people fuck with Gucci, they fuck with Gucci. I mean, it'll be different cities I go to. And like I said, I'm like a real deal fan. So, like, one of the first questions I ask, y'all listen to Gucci out here? And they'll be like, hell yeah. You know, like, first off, he's very big out west. You know, California, L.A., all that kind of stuff. And that could be his blood affiliation or whatever. And then when it comes to up north, you got to look at it. And a lot of people, like, kind of dismiss him because of his content, but he's lyrically talented. And that shows with, you know, people that know the game, because you got people like Busta Rhymes that he's worked with. You got people like Swiss Beatz that has been in the studio with him. And they all say, like, he's an animal as far as his work ethic. And, you know, people like that, they just not gonna work with somebody just because of the money. They want to know that you are, that the proof is in the pudding, basically. And like I said, he has fans that are artists. You know what I'm saying? And Kanye, you know, having his ear to the street, I'm sure Kanye has heard, you know, plenty of Gucci stuff before. He just didn't have a opportunity where he could, you know, find time to work with him. And, like, that was a perfect avenue to put him on a posse-type cut that, you know, could start to propel what will still be Cruel Winter. And then even Drake has worked with him before, but I definitely know that Drake keeps his ear to the street, you know, with different stuff that he hears. And he's been quoted once before, an early interview, I want to say when Drake first came out, because like I said, I keep up with this kind of stuff. And like they asked Drake what he was listening to, and one of the things he said, oh, definitely a lot of Gucci, definitely a lot of Gucci. He was quoted as saying that. That was around that, I want to say 06, or when he was like real, real hot. So I don't think it's just the hype of him being home and like having this amazing transformation where he went from the Gucci belly to the Wap Pack. Got folks out here working out and shit now. It's more than that. It's like there's actually talent there, and you know, just his infectious energy and just his influence on so many people. You got to look at like Migos and the run that they've had since he's been locked up, and they were very much influenced by Gucci. I mean, you got to look at Fetty Wap, and a lot of these are young people. You got to look at Fetty Wap, who, you know, said he's a big Gucci fan. That's why he named himself Fetty Wap, you know, the Wap being in honor of the Goo Wap. So I don't think it's just hype because, you know, he was trending. I think it's, like, legit. And, like, this is a good opportunity to work with him because he's sober. You know, he ain't got nowhere to go but be in the studio in the house because he's on house arrest. So it's like, let's get some quality out of him before he get out here in the streets and get crazy again.
Yeah, I'll finish that. Definitely would say it's a combination of both because, you know what I'm saying, in reference to him with the, you know, the same rappers that I just mentioned that he came out with, if Jeezy and T.I. do a song with Kanye and Drake, that helped Jeezy and T.I. But if Gucci do a song with them, that actually helps Kanye and Drake. And they the quote unquote bigger artists, so it's kind of you can generalize it as using, but at the same time, like Big Bro said, I remember the interview where Drake was like he was sitting on a bed in the interview. That's how old it was. So he was on like Gucci early, and I remember like I can't remember the exact name, but Gucci had did those three mixtapes with, I think, three different producers or three different DJs, and him and Drake had a song, and that shit was tight. So yeah, it's definitely like, you know, like Big Bro said, it ain't necessarily using. They definitely got an appreciation for him. So it's a combination of both. And as far as, like it's funny to hear people, like, try to discredit Gucci as, like, a rapper because, I don't know, they be so quick to, and of course I'm not putting them on the same level, but as far as that specific skill, like they be so quick to glorize Jay-Z for not writing his raps, not forgetting no pad, no pencil. That's a whole tape. Gucci didn't write nothing. And it wasn't like all them bars. There wasn't no whack shit. Gucci had some bars on there. So I don't know. I just think that, and then it's like, can't nobody have that many projects and can't, you know what I'm saying? So people get too caught in the content and feel like, oh, well, since that's all he talks about, he can't rap. But shit, like I said, I put Pusha T in my top five, and he don't talk about shit, but so you can't really judge a person for their content when we talk about the talent of their rapping skill.
Yeah, but he's definitely proven that he's gonna, he hasn't missed a beat, and if anything, he's gotten better. Because although it's funny to say, like I was listening to somebody, I don't know if I saw it on Twitter, and they was like, they don't like this new Gucci because he all positive and shit. They want him around here slapping hoes, saying fuck this shit, you know. And it's fucked up because that's what he was so known for, and that's being a street nigga, a real street nigga. But now he around here doing, you know, workout videos, and it's like, who is this guy? I still fuck with him, but who is this guy? This nigga turned down to Trouble. Fuck what y'all talking about. So it's funny, but he definitely shows that he's going to be talked about, and he's not going to be forgotten. I mean, I know when Boosie came out, everybody was like, free Boosie, free Boosie, free Boosie. But he's out, and it's like, is he locked up? You know, because you don't really care, so to speak. I mean, Boosie had his following, but he had nowhere near the following of Gucci. And people want to say that Boosie is better because he spits that real. And that may be all true, but at the end of the day, if you don't have that if you're not touching the crowd like that, you then fizzle out. The same way that Jeezy and T.I. are starting to, that's why they want to go and hop on somebody young who's hot when, you know, Gucci was doing it from the jump. He never left the street, so he ain't got to go back to the trap.
Yep. Yeah, because I know I was texting Lil Bro about, because I remember he was talking about the Noisy little documentaries, and I just happened to start watching on YouTube, and they did one on Atlanta, and I didn't realize, I mean, I knew it, but it didn't kind of resonate until I saw the interview. Everybody that we admire now, Gucci probably got a tape with him. Like, you know, he got a tape with Future. He got a tape with Young Thug. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whenever somebody new come out, he grab him immediately and say, nah, this I fucks with this nigga. As opposed to, like you said, Big Bro, Jeezy, or T.I., it's more so on the strength of, I'm trying to revitalize my career, where Gucci just doing it on some, you know what I'm saying? Nah, I fuck with this young nigga. Y'all need to fuck with him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gucci definitely is the father to, like, all this new trap. Definitely is.
Yeah, shout out to those Noisy documentaries too, because I fuck with those heavy too. They like very in depth, and I like how they done.
Yeah, I had I don't even know what made me check it out, but I didn't realize they did, you know, 5-part series on Atlanta, 5-part series on Compton, and I think you was talking about Lil Bro, they do some overseas too. So yeah, they definitely like a nice little, you know, sit-in session on YouTube.
Yeah, speaking of which, it was interesting to find that in that 5-part series of Atlanta, Travis Scott was like in the, I guess, the trap house, the studio, whatever it was. I forgot who he was in there with, but it was like on some random shit, and they was, and like the dude was in there. I was like, oh, that's Travis Scott, and he was like, oh yeah, you know, I come here, and I want to say, was it Sunny Digital or TM88?
Yeah, I think it was Sunny Digital. It probably was both, Sunny Digital and TM88.
Yeah, so that was, I thought that was pretty cool. But that just show you that, like, Travis Scott, but he's young, too, so he's definitely going to be fucking with everybody in his age range. And, you know, he was down here, like, you know, trying to get it in, because... Is he signed to Grand Hustle, or was that like a...
I think he signed to him as like as a rapper, and he signed to Good Music as a producer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has no contracts both ways.
Yeah. But, it's definitely a lot going on in the scene. And then, like I said, he's... Gucci has touched a lot of those people in the trap. If anybody say trap, you know, they gotta give him his due. Did either one of y'all get a chance to check out that Taylor Gang project?
No, I didn't get a chance. Yeah.
I got to I think like the first 5 songs, and I didn't cut it off because it was bad, and I just didn't get to finish it. But it come in pretty tight, especially that first song.
It come in hard as fuck. Like, you talking about Power? Like the Power of the Money, I forget how it go, but like you said, I didn't finish checking it out, and it wasn't because it was trash and I turned it off. But it was like it come in hard, and I just hadn't got around to listen to it. It was just so much music, I just hadn't got around to finishing it, and it kind of made me think about you know, the thing that everybody says about like Wiz and his albums. Like, although when you listen to them, they're good, how many people really go back, you know, and listen to Wiz albums? And it fucked me up. Like, man, that's a fucking thing to say. But I looked at it and I was like, damn, how many do I really like go back and fuck with? I listened to it in duration, probably give it a couple runs, but it's not really a lot of them that I like go back and say, let me listen to his album. Maybe his mixtapes, but none of his albums.
Yeah, no, it's as much as I fuck with Wiz, like, when him and Kanye had that quick little beef, it fucked up is what stuff Kanye said. When he said, I don't know nobody that said through a whole Wiz album, I was like, ouch, because I don't think I do. Like you said, bro, as far as the mixtapes, like, he kind of, you know what I'm saying, people see Drake as the leader of the new generation, but if you talking on a mixtape level, like, Wiz is, you know, up there as far as, you know, bringing in this whole new generation of rappers. And it just kind of sucked because it's like once you go to the albums, it's like I know on ONIFC, it's some real good cuts on there, but you probably not going to play it all the way through. And shit, to be honest, I think the first album is probably my favorite. And it's like it's some really good cuts on there, but you probably not going to play it all the way through. And, you know, honestly, after the first two, I don't, it's kind of been upside down and all that. The last one was good. Khalifa was cool, but, you know, it's just cool. So, and like you said, it just kind of sucked because it, generally speaking, most people really fuck with him, but he one of those folks. You ask about them albums, it's like, I mean, I fuck with him, but let's not talk about his albums.
I wish, to be honest, I don't even know the, you know, I'm a big Wiz Khalifa fan, but to be honest, I don't even really know the name of his albums. I don't know, he got like ONIFC, and I know he got Rolling Papers One, but that's really about it. And I definitely haven't really listened to like ONIFC or there's another one called like Black Hollywood.
I don't even think Black Hollywood exists in most people's mind.
Yeah. But I mean, I wish he could like be mixtape Wiz. And he started his career out, like, carrying what he do on his mixtape to his album. And he'll probably, legit probably be top of the rap game. He'll be in the top five, no sure. I mean, no doubt. But, you know, yeah, I guess the labels got control of him.
And, you know, it's funny that you speak about the label because I just saw, I think, like, 2 or 3 days ago that he's suing Rostrum Records, the people he started off with, and it was just so shocking to me because I'm like, damn, like, he, you know, that's what kind of cultivated his whole movement with the Kush and Orange Juice and just fucking with him in the beginning. I'm like, why is he suing them? But come to find out, they still, like, make money off of him. Like, even after he got a major deal, even up to this very last album, they still get a piece of his money. And I was just like, damn, that's kind of crazy. And I don't know, I just thought it kind of sucked because the article specifically said he was showing Rostrum Records and Benji. And it's like, not that I would know Benji in the street, but if you remember Wiz from the early days of the mixtape names, you know the name Benji. And it's just crazy that, like, somebody so early in his career, he further down the line, he got to go sue him. Kind of like the Lil Wayne and Baby thing, but that's a whole nother level.
Yeah, a whole nother level. I thought it was kind of, I guess, crazy and funny that, you know, that they had all these like videos of them being together and people thinking that they worked it out, and then after the, you know, to put some respect on my name, debacle, you see Wayne saying his next two projects are gonna be called Fuck Birdman and Fuck Cash Money. I'm like, damn, y'all still ain't worked this shit out, huh?
It was funny because the original, like, you know, story that was out in pictures and stuff was out, you know, that was bad cool. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe we'll finally get the next card or whatever. But I feel like literally 2 days later, it was like a video of Wayne in the club and, like, Birdman was trying to, like, I don't know, shake his hand, hug him or something. And Wayne was just straight up ignoring him. And it was like that video didn't pick up a lot of speed, and it was like the whole they still cool thing was floating around. But I was like, nah, that video looked like Wayne still ain't fucking with him. And it's like, you know, lo and behold, here we are now, Wayne still saying fuck him. Because, I don't know, it's like, even if somebody behind the scenes was able to get him to talk, we still ain't got the next Carter. So it's like, I can't see them being too cool, where it's like, oh yeah, we cool, but my album still ain't out. So it still fuck you.
Yeah, I don't say that too, because I saw a picture where Wayne, like, legit after the whole Birdman interview thing, do up whatever, Wayne had a picture with Ross and Trick Daddy in, like, Miami or something. But
I did see that.
Yeah.
And that was, like, right after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it. It'll ever be resolved because Wayne album never gonna come out, so I just feel like if his album ain't gonna come out, what's the point of being cool? So I just feel like it's just gonna be an ongoing thing, and Wayne just gonna fade into this whole free album stuff because he can't put the regular album out, which kind of sucks. Not that I thought that Carter 5 was just gonna be fire. It just still kind of sucked that, like, you know, his career was built off this series and it just had to come to an abrupt end for whatever reason. So it still kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. Cannot lie. But I mean, hey, I know he ain't broke out here, so really just be listening to that whole "he ain't pay me" shit. You can kiss my ass at that when you're right here.
Yeah, you ain't hurt.
Yeah, in the words, but he don't know hurt. You know what I'm saying? I really struggle. He's been rapping since 16. He ain't missed no meal. And so I really be hating those. I'm not getting paid. Like, nigga, all you talk about is money. You told me you ain't getting paid now? You been lying to me the whole time?
One of them chicks cash, goddamn.
Right. Yeah, but that's all I got on music tip on my end. What y'all got?
I'm cleaned out on the music.
So that's all I got. But I did want to, you know, since she's going to jump into something else, I did want to say I finally saw Civil War.
Okay.
It's really fucking with it. Top 2 or 3 Marvel movies, in my opinion. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, we can have a review on that one of these days.
Definitely.
I know I'm, like, so behind on movies, I still have to check out X-Men. From what I hear, it's, like it's long, it has good parts, but it's, like,
Well, look at me not having to say nothing. I saw it and you just literally took the words out of my mouth. I ain't even got to say nothing. Like, that's really, I mean, honestly, to be honest, what it is, aside from, and I feel like I said it before, aside from First Class, which that's the only one that the director that does them didn't do, if you seen one, you seen them all. Like, it's an X-Men movie, so if you enjoy them, you'll like it. If you got that wishy-washy feeling about them, then you'll continue to have that feeling. But not for nothing, I do feel like they can set up, the next movie can be the shit. I just feel like they got to get rid of that director. But the way that they ended it, like, the next one can be the shit. They got to get rid of him, though. Like, Bryan Singer is not going to work.
Yeah. Nope.
As far as TV, I know, well, I don't know if you have, little bro. I know you wasn't really watching The Flash, but I feel like we can kind of talk about it without spoilers. Big bro, did you catch the season finale?
Did I? I was glued to my seat. Like I said, without giving spoilers, I like how it ended. I was not expecting it. I like how it ended, and it really opened it up for future seasons.
I fucked with the ending too, because I feel like, you know, for the future seasons, they can definitely go the route of some of the comic book arcs and movies that we've seen, so that was cool. But the only thing that kind of, because the season was amazing, but the one thing that just really bothered me was after they revealed Zoom, I couldn't get jiggy with it. I couldn't. It's like, The terrifyingness that made Zoom so dope is when he had that mask on. And when they showed who he was, it just, like, some of the scenes of him just being in the lab, kicking it, like, waiting on Barry to do certain stuff for him. I'm like, bro, you're supposed to be Zoom killing niggas. Why are you, like, chilling with him? It was just, I don't know, that part right there was weird for me. But overall, the season was fucking amazing. The ending was cool. And like you said, I'm definitely looking forward to the end. I mean, looking forward to next season.
Yeah, I think once he finally came out the mask, that, like, although I desperately wanted to know who it was, it just really just kind of, you know, just kind of robbed me a little bit. Like, yeah, you don't look so badass no more, right?
Yeah.
I know what you look like without that shit off.
Yeah, it was like, it took away that menacing. And especially the person that it was. Like, he wasn't, like, he didn't scare me. Like, it didn't mesh up well. But it didn't just fuck the season up for me. It was just that one little piece or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, MTV, I talked about it last time I recorded the Preacher TV show. I caught the first episode of it last week. And at first, I was trying to go into it with this whole, oh, I read the books mindset. I'm looking for the stuff that was in the books. And the show wasn't really like that, and it was throwing me off. But I had to kind of realize the show was more so of a appreciation for the books and their own version of it as opposed to exactly from the books. And once I took that away from the show, dope as shit. Like, that shit fire, so I'm looking forward to watching it. I think the second episode came on tonight. Even though
yeah.
I don't, you got to check it out?
No, I didn't get to check it out. I was watching the game. But I'm going to definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's good as shit, but I know at first I was kind of thinking it could probably be like the next big thing since Walking Dead, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case because I kind of been talking with people that watch it, and it's like, The Walking Dead is like zombies, niggas get ate, that's it. Nothing else you need to know. Niggas running from zombies. Nothing else. But it's good, but as far as like the universe and all that they build, you don't have to know too much. You just gotta know it's zombies. With this show, it's a lot of shit going on that some people are gonna be like, I don't really know what the fuck going on. And I don't think it's gonna be as successful, but I think it's still gonna do good because it's a good show. And the action, like, I was kind of shocked at that because it's not... You don't see too much. I mean, it's in the book, but it's not that heavy in the book. The action was dope as shit. Like, they had some fire-ass action scenes.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I keep hearing good things about it. I finally decided to go ahead and catch up on Fear the Walking Dead. It's still taking a while to really just kick off the way Walking Dead did, and I can't help but, you know, try to draw comparisons of the two, because, hell, it's both in the zombie apocalypse, but I'm starting to find an appreciation of it, and I kind of started trying to check it out because, like, I read an article about how bad the ratings were getting for the show, and it's really not fair to the show because we come off this high of Walking Dead, and we go to another set of zombie people who are still like, can I pet them? Can we keep them around? You know, they don't know that shit is real out here, you know? So that was probably part of what was so frustrating in trying to watch it. And that along with it going up against, you know, NBA playoffs and Game of Thrones, which is like my shiznit.
Yeah, I know as far as Fear the Walking Dead, I haven't. I guess I'm in that percentage of people that's just not giving it a chance. I haven't watched it. I watched the first episode, and it wasn't even a matter of it was bad. It just, I don't know, nothing really drew me to it. And it was kind of like, from the beginning, it just kind of fucked me where they was like, this will not, it's in the same world as The Walking Dead, but there won't be any, like, correlation as far as characters and stuff. And I was just kind of like, well, that kind of sucks. But I did, in which, I mean, they just said that they didn't say that they want to do anything with it, but I feel like you got these actors, why not use it to your ability? But they did say by the end of this current season of Fear the Walking Dead, it's going to end around the time that Rick woke up in the hospital. So, I mean, it really won't mean nothing if they're not going to correlate the characters, but they kind of caught. They did kind of catch my attention because I was kind of like, well, why even put that in the atmosphere if you're not going to at least try to do it? So, I don't know. I just kind of feel like, you know, if your rating's low, there you go right there. Just, you know, give me anything, really. Give me Michonne or something. I mean, you ain't even got to go that big. You can get one of the smaller characters before they caught up with Rick and them, and they ain't even got to be heavy in the show. You just give me something small like that. And you're good to go. It's kind of like how I always, not necessarily complain because Marvel can't do no wrong, but how I always hear people would be like, you know, it'd be so dope if I can at least, like, get a glimpse of somebody from the movies in Netflix shows. Even though they reference it here and there, Robert Downey Jr. not going to be on Netflix. But it's like, it'd be nice if, you know, shit, had Iron Man suit fly by. You know, that shit all CGI. You ain't got to pay Robert Downey Jr. So it's like, it's that kind of same thing where you got this thing that's so, so successful. Why not give us a little small bit of it in the thing that's falling up under it?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I've been keeping up with Fear of Walking Dead. Like, I saw this entire past season and whatnot. And as far as the ratings, you know, people, you know, it's been getting a little bit low ratings and people been saying it's kind of boring and whatnot. But, I mean, it's I think it's well-written. It does get off to a slow start. And the characters are kind of, like, stupid as hell. It's kind of frustrating to watch at times. But, I mean, it seems like it has potential. And as far as, like, tying in other stuff, y'all know that during The Walking Dead, like, those commercials, like, Flight, such and such, or whatever. I don't know if y'all remember those. But they tied that into Fear the Walking Dead, like, towards the end of the season. So, you know, maybe there is a possibility that there could be something where they tie in The Walking Dead with Fear the Walking Dead, but I don't know. I'm still going to, like, keep up with it because I think the third season has potential, like I said, but, you know, it's kind of like, it's just whatever right now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm going to continue to check it out. It doesn't have the same emotional effect. Like, when they run into situations where somebody is about to die, it's like, okay, you know, so what? I don't have any kind of emotional involvement with them. It's like, if they die, it's like, I'm all rational with it. Like, yeah, it's time for him to go. Bye. So, I have no feelings right there now. So maybe that'll grow with time once they, you know, kind of wisen up a bit. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out, though. Just on your own time, though. I have been, I have to find out where to check it out, but I've been hearing, like, a lot of people who, you know, talk about anime and all this kind of stuff, talk about Dragon Ball Super. I haven't been able to find, like, a steady site to where I can watch the episodes, but I know that they're about to begin a story arc where there's, like, an evil Goku, and, like, people are, like, shitting their pants, you know, like, you know, blowing their load about how excited they are, and I really want to go ahead and get into this because I've always been a big Dragon Ball Z fan anyway, so I just know this will be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to find it because I saw it's this guy that I follow on Twitter to kind of be on the up and up with anime and stuff like that. And he posted this picture. It's supposed to, and I think the story is supposed to be they're supposed to be doing like another Future Trunks type of thing, but it's supposed to be with this Dragon Ball Super thing. But in the picture, like you said, Goku had like a little smirk to it. And I'm like, what's up with that? But I mean, now that you're telling me that he's supposed to be evil, I'm definitely gonna have to see that. Like, I mean, you know, given that, like, we so used to the goofy-ass Goku that, you know, can whoop your ass to have an evil Goku, that shit just sounds extra dope. And I don't know if I ever mentioned, but I finally did get to catch those last two movies, and them joints was dope, too. So, yeah, I'm going to have to look out for that. I know I've been hearing about the Dragon Ball Super, but I didn't know if it was, like, because you know how they do the, on Cartoon Network, they got Dragon Ball Z Kai, but it's just basically Dragon Ball Z, just shorter. They just cut some of the episodes out, so I didn't know if Dragon Ball Super was supposed to be like that, but if it's just supposed to be a whole nother show, I need to check for that.
Yeah, it's a whole nother show, and they've kind of, like, I guess the writers have matured, so they don't do all that old bullshit where they talking and powering up for 10 minutes of the 15-minute episode, and then giving you a 3-minute preview of the next episode next time on Dragon Ball.
Oh my God. It was an episode on yesterday, and like it was like Piccolo fighting one of the androids, and I swear to God, that man was charging up. It went to the commercial. He came back. He was still charging up. I was like, bro, come on. And then when he finally fought him, he cut off and said, next time on Dragon Ball Z. I was like, this is, I don't see how I sit through this shit as a kid. Like, this is, that is aggravating as fuck.
A fight scene that should take like 10 minutes usually take like 10 episodes.
That shit is crazy. Yeah.
I said the exact same shit. Like, I was watching one, and I think I had Emery with me, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to get him to watch it. And his attention, you know, quick as fuck. So he, like, walk off on it, and I'm still trying to watch it. And they had the whole power up and tell you his life story. And I'm like, how did I deal with this shit? You know? Clearly, I had no options as a child. So I was forced to settle with it, but it's like... That formula was so played out.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're saying, like, the writers have matured. Because, like, I mean, the logic don't even work. Like, you charging up in front of me for 5 minutes, I could just hit you. Like he's right there. Like, why are you just sitting there watching him charge up? Like, what the fuck? But
right.
I'm definitely going to be checking for that and try to see if I can, like you said, catch a streaming of it or something.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That's all I pretty much got on as far as what I'm watching and whatnot. So I guess that's my entertainment news.
Yeah, it's, well, you know what, did y'all catch the, I still haven't watched it. I meant to watch it before we recorded, but did y'all catch the trailer to Atlanta, Childish Gambino show?
I saw like a clip a little while back, but I know something else came out recently, but I haven't got a chance to check that out.
No, I haven't had a chance to check it out either. I didn't know it was out, but I've been like looking forward to it, especially since I'm just kind of picking up anything from Gambino, so I definitely got to check that out.
Yeah, I think it's got an official release date of, like, I want to say September 30th or sometime in September or whatever. So, I mean, you still got a time to wait, but it's, you know, at least it's coming. Like you said, big bro, we all kind of just waiting to get something from him.
Well, I guess we can go into our main course, which is going to be a review of The Life of Pablo.
Welcome to the Freemills Club. Before we jump into our main course, I'm going to toss it over to big bro to go over our rating system.
Our rating system goes as from rare to well done. But how we do it is rare actually means good. It means, you know, closest to fresh. You know how you order a steak. If it's rare, it's bleeding. It's like straight cut. Well done is overcooked. It's overplayed. So rare, you know, medium rare, medium well, well done. They'll tell you from best to worst, basically.
The Life of Pablo. It's hard to describe, like, where I would rank it, because it seemed like each one of Kanye's albums kind of takes me on a different journey, and I appreciate that. I'm going to give it a rare, of course. But it's just kind of hard to describe because, like I said, I was I took a while to listen to it. I had heard it, but never really listened to it because I was, you know, refusing to get titles just to listen to it. I was just firmly against it. So when it finally came to Apple Music is when I, like, really, really dove in. And by that time, I had already heard everything. My favorite track on there, it changes every time I listen to it, to be honest. But let's see, I really like Father Stretch My Hand, you know, the first part of it, anyway. That's kind of predictable of a song to pick, but it was really one of my favorites. And it's just like, Kanye is such a musical genius. It's like, he can... like, kind of switch himself up without changing and just still, like I said, create something new each time, and I love that about him. So, like I said, I definitely get a Life of Pablo a rare. I didn't appreciate how he tried to hold it hostage from me and other fans, but I eventually got it anyway. So, definitely a rare for me. Two big thumbs up. Yeah, it was pretty. It was kind of hard for me too because, like you said, the rollout as excited as you was for once he put the stunt that he did. It just, I don't know. It didn't take away the anticipation, but it was kind of like, so I got to go through all this just to get it. And on top of that, I kind of feel like I can't really disagree with a lot of the negative things that people say about it. For me, I'm going to give it a rare because, I mean, I feel like from top to bottom, it's, you know, like you said, he's a musical genius, and it's like it doesn't skip a beat. And I feel like it's a combination of all his music. Like, I hear Yeezus in there. I hear 808 and Heartbreaks. I hear the old school Kanye. Like, I feel like it's all in there. Yet at the same time, it's like people say it's all over the place, and it kind of is. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a specific order. Like, I feel like you could put it on shuffle, and it won't matter. Like, it's not a real cohesive album. And I kind of feel like lyrically this is probably one of his worst. Like, he doesn't really do, I mean, he raps, but it's not a lot of it. But like I said, at the same time, it doesn't bother me. And it's like, you know, especially getting into the, you know, when we get into the appetizer, if you're a fan of Kanye from the beginning and you wasn't one of those folks that was turned off after he, you know, kind of left after, you know, his general type of music after graduation, and you kept appreciating everything he put out, it's just all of that in one. To me, to be honest, you know, and like we always say, keep his ears to the streets, and he puts everybody in there perfectly. Young Thug is perfect on Highlights, and you know what I'm saying, to end the album with Ty Dolla $ign and Post Malone, like that, like I don't know who would think to do something like that, and it worked out perfectly. So, like I said, I'm gonna give it a rare. I'm definitely gonna give it a rare. Oh, and I feel like my favorite is a typical one too, but I mean, Famous, like I can't, that's a nice track. I'm surprised it doesn't get played on the radio every hour on the hour, because that's a dope ass song. It's that's one of the tracks that, like, I feel like would have been on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, because it's one of those songs I feel like you could play for anybody and they're gonna like it. So like I said, I'm gonna give it a rare.
All right, well, for me, it's kind of hard, like both of y'all said. And it's weird because since it came out, well, like I had a stretch where I just played it continuously. Then I just stopped playing it. So, I mean, it's been some months. But if, honestly, if we wouldn't have been reviewing today, I probably wouldn't have just went back and listened to it like that. But, you know, I went back and listened to it, and it's like, damn, it's a nice album, whatnot. And then I was trying to think, like, damn, what if this fit in with the other Kanye albums? And while I don't think it's as unique as, I'll say, 4 of his other projects, it's definitely still, like, a really nice album. And that's just a testament to Kanye's creativity and uniqueness as an artist in general. Like, his palette is just, you know, top to bottom, is almost everything's rare. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and give it a rare. I feel like it's a dope album. Like Jamal said, it does incorporate various, like, aspects of his previous album. So you got some 808 and Heartbreak, you got some old, like, College Dropout, Kanye, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stick with it, man. Probably my favorite song on there, I don't know, might be between like 30 Hours and Ultralight Beam, but yeah, those probably two of the top tracks that I really just messed with. So it's a rare.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy that we all kind of had to struggle with it, and it's kind of like Jamal said, it was all over the place, and it kind of helps you realize, like, what was going on with the multiple name changes, like, leading up to it. And, like, you know, he went from a track list of, like, 10 songs on a sheet of notebook paper to, like, 18 songs and everybody's signature. Like, he was, like, really in, like, a weird creative space with it. And so I guess that's why we all kind of struggled with it. But we could really just deny that it was, like, flawless use. Like, you know, you can go back and listen to it, you're like, damn, this is some good shit. But it didn't have a direction. It was a bit all over the place. But it wasn't a bad thing. But it was a unanimous rare from everybody. So that just shows you that I don't think Kanye could do any wrong. So we'll kind of go into dessert, you know, naming our top five Kanye tracks. I'm going to take the easy way out this go around and not, like, rank them. I'm just going to give you my five. Yeah, so I'm going to start with Theraflu. Theraflu was, like, dope as shit to me when it came out. And just, like, he spit on that. Of course, I got to go with, and I try not to pick all of them off of the College Dropout, but, like, there are a few on there. And I got to go with, I got to go All Falls Down. Like, the production on that was just, like, so smooth and, like, you know, just so uplifting. All Falls Down. Spaceship. It's two words. What did I think? Four songs?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so my fifth song, this is tough. I'm trying not to disrespect him in any kind of way. I'm going to go with Runaway. And that'll round out my five. So you got Runaway, you got Spaceship, you got Theraflu, you have...
You said two words or Spaceship?
Yeah, two words. Well, I said Spaceship and Spaceship. Yeah, that's my five.
All right. This was, like, super tough. I thought it was going to be easy. But I was when I was going through it today, I was like, yeah, this shit's kind of hard. But I did, since, like Big Bro said, we generally do take the easy way out, LeBron. I went ahead and ranked mine. Number five, I got Homecoming. I feel like those opening keys, like, I don't think any other song has an opening like that. For number four, I went Bound 2. As much as a lot of people hate Yeezy, it's like he had this one song that kind of like the one thing that everybody was asking for him, he gave it to him at the very end. It was like some of his best edit. So I'm going to go with that. Number three, I'm going to go with Blame Game. I mean, got Chris Rock, got his whole love affair and all that stuff. So, and then to have me sit there for 8 minutes and not want to skip, like, that's kind of hard to do anyways. For number two, I'm going to go with Touch the Sky. Like, probably some of the best horns in rap history. And then my number one song is Family Business. Kind of feel like at any point in life, this song is always going to be played. So that is going to be my top five Kanye songs.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and rank mine. Coincidentally, they each come from a different album, but, you know, five, I have Spaceship. Four, it was kind of a tie between Diamonds from Sierra Leone and Drive Slow. But I'm going to go ahead and give it to Diamonds from Sierra Leone just because the impact that it really had and whatnot and what they really talked about in that song. Three, I'm going to go with Devil in a Red Dress. Definitely be one of my favorite songs. And it's probably like it has my favorite Lost verse on there. But, I mean, Kanye does kill it himself. Two, Pinocchio Story Freestyle from 808 Heartbreak. That's like, even though it's not like just a song, like officially, but it is on the album. It's a great song to me. Like, I love you talking about that song. And number one is Big Brother from Graduation, where he just paid tribute to Jay-Z. That's my all-time favorite Kanye song, probably because, you know, the beat's super tight. And he's actually just, like, spazzing on that song to me. But, yeah, that's my top five.
Solid. Hey, his body of work is extensive, you know. all our top fives are different, you know, for different reasons. But Kanye's been around a while, and he's going to continue to be around because he doesn't necessarily reinvent himself, but he just kind of comes back out and shows another side of himself. I was having a debate with somebody earlier in the week, I believe, where I was kind of saying I like Kanye because although he's not a conscious rapper to me, he speaks like real shit. And like most times conscious rappers are on some like preaching and hey, let's rise up. And true enough, that is something that we need to do, but I really don't want to hear it all the time. That's why I'm not really big on your comments and stuff like that. Just because, you know, conscious rap, it just seems so preachy to me. But we were talking about it in the effect that if you think about it, Kanye kind of came out as a conscious rapper. And, you know, because he was so enlightened and, you know, just really speaking on stuff that we could relate to. And he for the longest, he's been saying stuff that we need to do, but it just seems so outlandish when he says it. It's like, oh, yeah, he just did, you know, that those his bars. He was just looking something to rhyme. But, like, he, like, really believes in this stuff. So he's not really crazy. He's just crazy about the stuff he believes in.
Like you said, as far as it's like he a conscious rapper, but as you say, it's not like he telling us to do nothing. It's just more so he's just telling us stuff that we can relate to and that we already know. So, like you said, without that preachy aspect, it kind of makes it a little better.
Yeah, he's just a realist. And like when he first came out, I wouldn't necessarily have thought him a conscious rapper because I feel like most conscious rappers actually try to be conscious. I feel like Kanye, it's in his blood to speak the truth and speak what's real. And that's what he did.
Yeah, most definitely. But that's all I got for this week.